Hey coaches, Adam here. As we kick off summer, I want to encourage coaches, especially those engaging in fall seasons, to start developing your leaders today. Do not miss the opportunity that the summer provides to start shifting the mindset of our players and start engaging and exciting them into their leadership and character. There can be tremendous momentum established in the offseason as you get ready for the upcoming season. Take advantage of our coaches membership filled with different drills, activities, and exercises that can start being used today. So when the season starts, there's been momentum established, standards have been risen, and your athletes are performing at a higher level than ever before. Take advantage of the coaches membership. Don't take the summer off.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam Bradley of Lead 'Em Up. I'm riding solo. Kyle could not join us on today's episode, nor could Leon, but I didn't want to miss the chance to sit down with Coach Simmons of Moore Volleyball and go through your journey together, Coach. Let me just give a little background, Rachel. I've had a chance to meet you this past week as we were out in Oklahoma doing a bunch of kickoff with Moore School District, representing the three schools in Moore, Oklahoma. So that's Moore High School, Westmore, and Southmore. Shout out to Brian, who helped kind of bring it all together. And the Moore School District has been utilizing Lead 'Em Up now for the last 3 or 4 years. And you specifically, especially in the last year, Moore Volleyball, Moore High School, have just been doing an incredible job with Lead 'Em Up. And prior to getting out there, I asked Brian, I said, can I connect with Rachel? I'd love to just kind of get her context. I'd love for her to share a few things about her experience with Lead 'Em Up. And after hearing you and just kind of meeting you, I was like, wow, this coach, she is incredible. And I absolutely want to get you on a podcast. And we started talking and I didn't want to miss the opportunity of recording with you, even though Kyle and Leon couldn't make it. So Rachel, thank you so much for taking some time. I'm excited to kind of go through your story, but thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, Coach, Moore Volleyball, you are building something really, really special. We'll get to where you are present day. Okay. Yes. Here in a little bit, but you know, it hasn't come overnight. It's been a process. How long you've been coaching the team for? How many years is this as a head coach?
As a head coach, this will be my fourth year with them. Just in the program itself, sixth year.
Okay, so you were assistant for 2 years, and then you took over as the head coach?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, going through that process, one, you know, do you play volleyball? Was that like your sport? Like
I did, and it's fantastic because you don't know this, but I'm a Moore High School alum.
Oh, even
so
better.
It's that special to me.
So when you were playing, like, where does the itch to become a coach come from? Was that always there with you? Like, how did that come back around to you?
No, it wasn't always there. So I developed my love for the sport in high school. I did not play any other sports before I entered the ninth grade. And it just kind of took off from there. I was really successful really quickly. And I just found a passion for it. But the coaching aspect, I was really inspired by my high school coach. She was phenomenal. She maybe wasn't the best coach around as far as volleyball goes, but she was the best coach around as far as just being a great person. And I ended up playing college volleyball here in Oklahoma at Randall University for 4 years, and my experience there with coaches wasn't the greatest. And so I told myself, no, I'm done. I'm not going to pursue this any longer. And then 1 year after I had graduated college, I took some time and I moved out to St. Louis, actually, and I needed something. And so I decided I would give it a shot. and I applied to be a varsity assistant at a school, Eureka High School near St. Louis. And it just kind of opened my eyes to the possibilities of what I could do for high school age girls in the world of coaching.
Mm, so good. Where's Eureka High School in St. Louis? We spent a lot of time out there. Where is that?
It's in Eureka, St. Louis. So it's about 30 miles west of St. Louis.
Okay.
It's somewhat of a small town, but they have a very successful program out there right now.
Interesting. So, all right. So you eventually make your way back to Oklahoma. You Yes. are assistant coach at Moore, and then you eventually take over as the head coach. Talk about that transition, because I think that's always an interesting one, going from assistant to head coach within the same program. You begin to start having to balance, how much do I want to carry over from the previous coaching regime? You know, like, what things am I going to put my stamp on? Just talk us through like how you manage that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came on in 2018 with a brand new head coach, and she and I, we were each other's right hand. So we worked very closely together. So I think that that helped my transition after she left. She was only there for 2 years before I took over, but the program itself was not in the best state. They had a very negative culture, a lot of just, I guess, with high school girls, sometimes you have those with attitudes and some struggles going on within programs. And so we walked into a really difficult situation. And so we sat down and mapped out how we were going to begin changing the culture. And you know, it can't happen overnight. And so it took us a couple of years. But she really laid a great foundation for me. And I learned a lot from her. So when I did take the leap and decide to apply and got the job as head coach, I think that that kind of came a little easier for me, just because I had been in the program. She had really developed me in the right way to be able to take over and begin leading this program and continuing to create a more positive culture for these girls.
Mm. So the negative culture, tell me in your opinion, like, what does that look like? You know, you hear a lot of times programs, yeah, the culture wasn't that great when I took over and things like that. Like, describe that if you can. Like, what did it feel like? What did it look like? What wasn't happening that you were hoping would be happening? What were the kids engaging in that maybe you didn't love or didn't think was the healthiest? Just describe that a negative culture for us.
Yeah, it was tough. Some of the girls were very cliquey. They just weren't the friendliest around each other. So, there was no chemistry on the court with that. And they didn't want to try and be friends with one another. And they weren't very good skill-wise either. So that just did not help. They had a losing culture. The years prior, after I had graduated, they went through coach after coach after coach. No one stayed for longer than 2 years. And so with that, there's no consistency in the program. Things are constantly changing, and they couldn't build something solid on that. And so I think that they just weren't used to a lot of structure and consistent discipline and just knowing what was expected of them. And with the seniors wouldn't speak to freshmen or sophomores. It was very much a upperclassmen to lowerclassmen divide in the program. And so we had to try and think, how are we going to bring these girls back together?
So take us through the mindset then, Rachel. Okay.
Yeah.
Where does it begin absolutely. For you at that point?
So with my position, I'm not only head of high school, but I have two junior highs under me as well. So we wanted to incorporate everyone. So we started building groups. And today I call them family groups. And so I take some upperclassmen leadership and I put underclassmen underneath them. So we'll have a group of six or seven girls, and that's their family for the year. Throughout the preseason, they come and they meet with their families. They establish relationships. We go through our lead 'em up activities with our families, questions, just different ways for them to be able to connect and begin to understand each other on a deeper level. And that transfers into school. They see them around, they say hi or invite them out to lunch. And we've seen a big change. And just by grouping these girls up, kind of not necessarily forcing the relationship on them, but allowing them to accept like, hey, these are the girls you're around every single day. These are your teammates. Just get to know each other a little bit. And it took off from there.
You bring up something really interesting there, you know, not to force the relationship, but you kind of are forcing the relationship, but I don't want it to be viewed in a negative stigma. I think coaches, we live in this dream world oftentimes where we would love for it to just happen naturally. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, wouldn't we just love that just to like, you know, kumbaya and everyone just kind of shows up and they just love one another and it just happens in this organic, natural way. And the reality is, it most likely won't. And right. It needs this structure. It needs this driving. And if you do it correctly in the beginning, it then will create the habits that it'll then ongoing get produced. I've shared this before. This is applicable because Rachel, you just got married 3 weeks ago, right? Yes. And we were talking about marriage right before we got on, because I just celebrated 15 years with my wife. I shared this during one of the breakouts. I don't think it was Moore's breakout, but maybe Westmore. I remember when I was getting married, like many couples, we went through this like premarital counseling, you know, with the pastor and all that before you get married. And they're just helping give you some things to expect and shift your mindset into a better place. I remember my pastor at the time, he said, here's what I want you to do, Adam, the moment you get married. For the next 3 weeks after you get married, the moment you walk in the house, I want you to lay your keys down and go immediately look for your wife, find your wife and give her a kiss. And I remember thinking like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to do that. And it's not that I didn't want to do that. I just wanted that to happen naturally. I wanted that to be more just like, cause I want to do it. I don't want to like feel like this rigid, awkward, like I'm doing it out of like requirement. I want it to just be natural. And I told him that, and he said, listen, it will become natural, but you've got to go through this process to get there.
Absolutely.
It was a great reminder for me. And it did become just second nature, became habit, but I needed that pushing and prompting in that structured way. And I think there's a great lesson there for coaches listening, because, you know, a lot of the stuff you want to see, it's got to be so intentionally kind of orchestrated in the beginning to get to the place where it becomes in kind of formalized in your program as to this is what we do. Mm-hmm. It has to kind of go from that way. So anyways, I just wanted to kind of build off that, Rachel, because you brought that up and I just think that's a great reminder. You know, you have to be intentional with that.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And we've seen like our seniors. So we do something now called senior stewardship. And it's when our seniors are seen more so not at the top of the totem pole, not at the top of the hierarchy, but now they're leading and serving our freshmen and our sophomores. And they're not, you know, traditionally in some programs, the freshmen carry the bags or the freshmen need to set up the equipment. Well, now it's the seniors saying, hey, come on, I'll show you how to do this. Let me help you. And so we've really tried to instill that. And that's just part of this growing relationship within our program of everybody. There's no separation in our program. We're an entire team as seniors down to the freshmen, down to even our managers, our team managers are felt like part of the team. Mm.
I love that senior service. Right. I think that sets a tone. And I think there's so many byproducts that come from that little activity right there of just humility, of vulnerability that may allow, right? Nobody's too high, kind of the selflessness, the depressing of ego and things like that. So many things come from there. I love that you also just mentioned how everything is team wide.
Yes.
Everything is team wide. I know right now you are all in and engaging the athletes and the team and lead them up. And that's one of the things we are really, really big on, team-wide leadership development. You've, if anyone's listened to the podcast many times, you've heard me say, like, we made a decision, conscious decision a couple of years ago, that we don't do exclusive work with captains or leaders or senior councils or leadership councils. We will do it as a result of extra work. So we'll, if it's, as long as we're still working with the whole team, we'll do extra work with those folks, but not exclusive, because what about everybody else?
Right.
And I want to get just your opinion on that, because there's still, there is still, it's interesting. Coaches, Rachel, they desperately want us all to come together as one, but then they've got all these like barriers, all these like divisions where our captains do work over here. And I spend only my time with the seniors, and there's all these little, like, almost like self-generated cliques versus this holistic of like all of us together. Speak on just your, why pour into the freshmen right now? Why pour into the sophomores right now? Right. Like, why work on developing them as leaders when clearly it's probably the juniors and seniors that are, quote unquote, the leaders? Why take a whole team-wide approach to the way you're approaching the program?
Well, in my opinion, by the time they're juniors and seniors, they need to have known how to lead. They can't just magically wake up one day and know. It's a constant process. And especially with Lead 'Em Up, if we can start them while they're freshmen, they're going to turn into amazing leaders through the process. And then by their senior year, they're going to be doing things the right way. And it was phenomenal to see yesterday, we did our first green verification ceremony and we took nominations. I said, who wants to nominate someone for the green team? And we had people raising their hands. I had juniors nominating freshmen. Freshmen nominating sophomores and juniors. And that alone speaks for itself. But I had four or five freshmen written on the board and I didn't have any seniors. You know what I mean? And it's just, it made me so happy to see that these upperclassmen are recognizing these freshmen, because it gives them a sense of empowerment and leadership. And wow, I can do this because the older girls see me doing this. And then they can take that and learn and continue to grow from it and become great leaders in our program.
I mean, I wonder what our programs would look like across the country if we all made collective efforts to start developing the leadership of freshmen and sophomores, just using that as an example. Because I don't know, anecdotally speaking from my experience, let's just say 90% of the teams in the country, those folks don't get any development. Okay. Like from a leadership development standpoint, they're younger, their time will come. Eventually they'll step into a leadership role and then we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We'll start pouring into them at that point. I mean, that's traditionally, and that's a very generalized statement, but it's relatively accurate. What would our programs and teams look like if a freshman came in from day one and started getting poured into from a development standpoint in their leadership and character, started having seniors and juniors shouting over them like echoes of praise and celebration? I remember, I mean, I think most freshmen, when a senior talks to them, it makes their day, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Let alone a senior or junior say, I want to verify them green. Like all of a sudden, like, I mean, I think one of the biggest components of lack of leadership not being demonstrated is just the simple case of lacking confidence in doing so. You could take a situation like that all of a sudden as a freshman, empower them in such a way where they've got confidence that will carry them for 4 years. And what you may get from that player, right, as a result of that activity early on, it's hard to measure what it could look like. I have to imagine it's a game changer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely is.
You know, it's so funny. The leadership development dynamic, the thought process that is maybe not of one where it's full team. Let's say it is kind of fragmented. You know, we're going to spend our time just with the seniors and such. I was thinking about this the other day, actually, as I was flying home from more, Rachel. What if they did strength and conditioning in the same way? Like, I want you to think about how silly and foolish that would sound. like if I went to, let's say, take a program and they, we say, hey, tell us about your development, leadership development, as you're building this culture in your program, tell me about your activities, what you engage in. And it goes to what most do, like, yeah, you know, we work with upperclassmen. Yeah. You know, we spend time with our leaders, our captains, and they're getting all the development. And then you throw out the question, we're like, okay, what about everyone else? And it's almost more of a, well, yeah, I mean, they're not the leaders yet. Their time will come. And it's one of those. What if you did the same thing from a strength and conditioning? So how does your strength and conditioning program work? Oh, yeah. So we only let the seniors work out. They're the only ones training. Why? Well, I mean, you know, we want to give them our full attention. Well, what about everyone else? Oh, their time will come. Wouldn't it be better if they were getting stronger now? We're going to focus on our seat. Like, you hear how crazy that sounds?
Right. It just sounds insane.
Sounds insane. But that's what we do from the developmental side, mentally and through a leadership. So
yeah,
I celebrate you, Rachel, because it is clear that you are reaching everybody in the program, even down to junior high, you're influencing them.
Yes. Yes.
Talk about this, the last 12 months or so, maybe 14 months, because you have ramped it up even more so than ever before. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
So take us back to last year and into this year. Now you're entering into your fourth year. You've been learning. What are some of the things you've been learning that's caused you to kind of land in the place you are right now with the level of intentionality?
For myself and my coaching staff, we know that we are in a constant state of learning. We want to be students of the game, and we don't ever take our ideas and our opinions as the only way to do something. My staff, we talk about every decision's made. I listen to my assistant coaches. We talk about, you know, thinking the passer. I listen to them, they listen to me, and it's a constant circle. And that goes for my teams as well. I like to give them a lot of ownership. But in the past, oh, I'll say a couple of years, our program has grown a lot. Just the girls in relationship and skill wise, we've broken just about every record possible at Moore High School for volleyball. And that's been great, but we seem to have hit this hump in our season. So we'll make it to a regional final. Now in Oklahoma, I know it's different in different states, but in Oklahoma, in order to go to state, you just have to win your region. And we play best 3 out of 5 sets, like college ball, instead of 2 out of 3. So we get to this regional final, we play great one set, and then we just fall off. And we've been constantly racking our brains. Okay, what do we need to change this year? What do we need to do differently? And so this past year, I had an amazing group of seniors, just super athletic team, all the talent in the world, all the potential in the world. And we started off so great, but we hit this lull mid-season and my seniors just started freaking out. Panicking, trying to make all these decisions, worried about, oh, are we going to get beat by this team? What do our rankings look like? Da, 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 da. And I was just, guys, slow down, breathe. You've got to take it one step at a time. And we had an issue with one player, and she was a junior, and she is what I would consider a very red player. And meeting after meeting, trying to get through, communicating with each other, myself, the player, coaching staff. And she started to draw these great players in. And
recruiting.
Oh, yes, she was a great recruiter. And they had all happened to play the same position as well. And so she, her role for the season, she's very athletic, great, great player, but her role for the season was coming off the bench. And that would be, you know, if we felt that the team needed her on the court at the time. And it was just a refusal in her mind. She would rather us lose the game and her get her stats in than us win the big game and her accept her role in pushing her team on the bench. And so it was a really difficult situation. Like I said, she was a great athlete, but it just wasn't clicking for her. And it was really difficult to get through to her and her parents where we needed it. And it disrupted the entire team. And mind you, this is a team of great chemistry, great athletes, all the talent. And we just plummeted towards the end of the season. And it was really, really hard to swallow, especially for those seniors who felt like, you know, this is my last year. This is my chance to leave a legacy. This is our time to get over the hump. And so I actually had brought in a colleague to get some advice. Our basketball coach, he had made it to state 2 years in a row for since 1993, I think. And so I said, hey, what are you doing that's different? You know, what can you give me some advice? I'm having trouble with this player. And he said, yeah, do you remember, you know, Adam Bradley and the whole lead 'em up thing? And he brought up the green team and he came in, spoke to my girls about green, red, and gray and what they all mean and how it connects and how, you know, we can achieve our goals if we start working towards this. And all the girls really latched on except for that one red player. She went down onto the court and she said, forget that, I want to play. And so in that moment, it was so difficult. I didn't know what to do. And so I decided that I was going to have to kick this up a notch this next season in order to be successful, or just in order to allow these girls to enjoy themselves and love the sport without the tension and the rivalry between them. And because that's not what we want. And we've seen how it has affected our teams, you know, come crunch time in our season. And so this player actually ended up moving away, so she's no longer in our program. But we decided we're going to do this lead 'em up thing. We're going to try it. We're going to go all in and see what we can do. So in the spring, I actually started getting more invested in it. I did our leadership profile online, and I started experimenting with the lessons and with my club.
What was your green team score when you filled out the
our
profile?
Our green team score, yeah, it was 58% to begin with. 58% green.
And for those that are not familiar, in order to be a green team, it's 90% or higher. That's the goal. So 58 wasn't quite where it was.
Not quite there. Not quite there. A lot of room for growth.
All right, keep going. Yep. So
I told my coaches, I said, hey guys, because in years past, I know we've developed our own lessons for preseason. Every year in preseason, we'd go over like mental toughness, how to overcome this, how to deal with adversity. I said, we're going to stop all that. We're going to take a pause and we're going to do lead 'em up. And they were like, okay. I said, just trust me. We're going to do this. And so I said, here's all the information. I'll do a lesson. You'll do a lesson. Then you'll do a lesson. And we'll tag team this thing. And we're going to divide and conquer. And we're going all in. And so the very first day of practice, I introduced the green team framework. And I just saw in my players they just lit up. They're like, what is this? And I said, okay, so we're going to start here. And then we started building our green standards. Hey guys, what do you think makes a green player? You know, and they started rattling off all these things. And we came to 6 green standards that we wanted to uphold and live in for the season. And we're reminded of those standards every single day. You know, they'll tell each other, oh, you're being so positive today. And they'll even kind of play around and be all jokey with each other. Like, hey, that was red right there, you know, and just laugh it off. But they're using the language. And I think that the language that is in Lead 'Em Up has been the best thing for us. It has been a game changer as a coach. Using this language that Lead 'Em Up has developed, it is so much easier to communicate with my players and for them to understand what I need from them. It has, I mean, it's blown the roof off of things for us. You talk about lifeguards, you talk about having your 6, like that's my 6 over there. I've got her back. And they have taken off with this. And I have seen a tremendous change in our program. And just, I guess it was about a week and a half ago, I took another little quiz and we are 72% green, which is a huge jump to take in just 2.5 weeks in a program. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first of all, I celebrate you, Rachel, just from jumping in. And I think that's, I think it's what is needed, right? I mean, look at anything in life. Any area that you want to see thrive and flourish, like it never happens with dabbled commitment, right? I'm just going to dabble with it. I'm just going to kind of mess around with it. I mean, think about fitness, think about personal health, think about relationships, everything in your life. You know, it starts with that intentional commitment saying we're doing this and we're going to go all in. And, you know, you mentioned the other day, you know, you had your team and you, your coaches and such listening to the podcast, just to really like, start adopting the language and all that. I love that you called out the language because the language is such a powerful tool. You know, there's more clinical psychology data about the power of shared language. When you think about the tribal effect, right? It's almost like tribes communicating together and they've got secret languages, and what it does is simplifies communication, also aligns teams, right? So it gives them little tools that a 16-year-old can say, you're being read. So simple. Everybody knows what it means.
Yes.
Everyone knows what it means. And it means a big thing. There's a lot to it, but you can just say you're being real red right now. I don't like it. It's not good for us. And everyone knows, hey, we need lifeguards jumping in. Everyone knows we're slipping. We need lifeguards to bring us back up. Okay. Cause you know, we don't want to get in the red. Red's drowning, all these different kind of illustrations there. My sixth, it's the language that when you say that, it's like, yes, that's what we wanted. Yeah. Right. And there's power in that. And they begin to just own it even greater. And I think one of the things you're going to begin to and continue to see is that they will start, once again, it will start permeating through the team at greater capacity. You'll see more and more of it. Right. You will then begin to see them teaching others on it. Right. Okay, you'll start hearing them say, listen, that's why we teach lifeguarding here. Okay, you'll start seeing moments like that. And when you're seeing all this happening, this is essentially what we want to get to about being a player-led team.
Absolutely.
That's what you want. You want your players doing all of that, and being able to give them that language can help that.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series, and this is today's leadership nugget. Knowing and leading yourself is the first step in every leader's journey. When developing future leaders within my team, we start with knowing yourself and then transition to leading yourself. Once you know and lead yourself, you can move into knowing and leading others. Too often, people will try to bypass these critical steps before leading other people. Start with having a clear understanding of who you are and how you operate. This will ensure a strong foundation for future leadership growth. No one wants to be led by someone that doesn't first know and understand themselves. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Green verification. Take me through how that went. I know you said sophomores were getting verified and all that, but just like just that spirit of celebration that kind of entered into the team as a result of the verification. How'd that play out?
Yeah. So after practice yesterday, we all went together in our meeting room and we actually went through the 40 red dash lesson before we did our green verifications. And so that kind of, you know, got their minds prepped and everything. And I said, okay, guys, you know, we're going to look at our green standards, throw them up on the board. And I said, okay, it's time to nominate some players. What I want you to do is raise your hand, say who you're nominating and give us a little bit why. What did you see? Which standard that they uphold to make you nominate them for this green team? And I just, you know, there was a little hesitation at first, like, ooh, what do I? And then all of a sudden just hands started shooting up like crazy. And like I said, I had juniors nominating freshmen, like, you know, I really appreciate the way that this freshman came to the varsity scrimmage and she was just screaming and cheering and she's really leading the bench over there. Or, you know, I really appreciate the way so-and-so is always positive on the court. They really help uplift me and I can look at them and know that, you know, I'm good and they've got my back. Or just, I love the way that so-and-so is consistent on the court. Every day that she shows up, it's always the same. She does what coach asks and she works hard. And it was just things like that just start spouting off. And so I'm writing names up on the board, trying to keep up with what they're doing and what they're saying. And then I said, okay. And now we did things a little bit differently this time around. I wanted to pick two people from each team to verify first time around. We'll probably do something a little bit different next time. But I was very adamant on two people. And so what we did is we threw those names up on the board and I said, okay. And everybody got a note card and I said, now I want you guys to write down who we want to verify green this time. And so they wrote their names down and we collected them and coaches counted them up and we got two top people for each team. And I said, okay, here's your 2023 season captains. They're upholding everything that's on this board, our green standards. So here's your captains for this year. And everyone was really shocked. And I was like, this isn't, maybe we do a rotation. Maybe next time we verify green, those are your captains for the week, because we don't want to seclude leadership. And I made sure to make a point on that. Just because they're the captain for this week doesn't mean someone else can't step up and lead. It's not all on these guys over here. The weight's not on their shoulders. It's not just up to them to say, hey, guys, let's get it going. It's up to everybody. For me, our captains are just the guys that go to the coin flip. That's it for me.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's a leader on this team and everybody can have that leadership mindset. So we just wanted to kind of throw a little spanner in their works and just switch it up a little bit. But it went so well. And just to hear the testimonies and on the court and everything, it was great.
Yeah. And that's where coaches can have freedom with it. You know, you can make those little tweaks and, like, you know, you decided to take the green verification, connect it to the captain title and kind of do it that angle, go for it, you know? And the one little phrase that you said during all that is like when the hands started sprouting up, right? And everyone just started celebrating and such, you know, that is demonstrating and a visible byproduct of a healthy culture. Absolutely. You know? And yeah, there's been times where I've done green verification ceremonies. And whenever someone gets verified, we bring them up to the front and we throw them in what we call the spot seat. It's a combination of a hot seat and a spotlight, really just give everyone a chance to celebrate why they got verified. And there will be teams that I work with that I have to cut the celebrations. There are so many kids raising their hands, wanting to celebrate their teammates and thinking of different reasons to celebrate and wanting to share that I'm just like, oh guys, like I'm already thinking about Jenna Evans. Shout out to Jenna. She was a senior this past year, Liberty girls lacrosse. I'd never seen anything like that. Like she gets verified. I literally was like, we have to go. Sorry. We have to cut it. We can't keep celebrating Jenna. Listen, Jenna, I've never seen this before. There's so much love for you. Everyone just kept having so much to say, but like, that's a sign of a strong, strong culture, right? And there's a lot of cultures that don't have that, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, the teams, the one thing that I always say that I love the position I'm in is I get to see, like, all of it. So you're exclusive to More Volleyball, right? Like, you're in that world for More Volleyball. Fair? Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, like, every season, I'm with, like, intimately with like seven or eight programs, different sports also. Okay. Different demographics, different regions, boys teams, girls teams, cheer, football. I mean, you see it all. And there are many programs that you go in early on and like, they can't celebrate each other. They just, it's just not in them. They just don't have that feeling. They don't feel safe enough. It feels awkward. That's not really what we do. That's not really what this team environment's really all about. And it takes time. Then there's other team cultures where you go in and the celebration, they're just like, there's so much love and support for one another. I just want everyone to kind of do a little self-evaluation. When you hear Rachel talk about the girls' hands were just sprouting up, celebrations upon celebrations. Is that what your team looks like right now? Like, do you think if you engaged your team in celebration that there would be that much love and just admiration and willingness to kind of share and to celebrate and give testimonials of each other? If you say, I don't know how my team would respond to that. That's a great indicator that you need to keep pouring into this type of stuff, because we got to get it there, you know, and that's just a clear sign of it. Tell me, Rachel, you're in a unique spot during the summer because you get full availability with the kids. Okay. So tell us, because you don't do all this lead them up work and have this growth in the culture and have this type of environment that you're in without work. Like, it takes time, takes work. You're creating graphics on social to like support it. You're learning, you're listening, you're reading stuff. Like, what type of time commitment is it for you? What type of schedule have you been operating in this summer as you roll it out? What kind of schedule do you see in the season? What type of rhythm do you see there? And when you think about all this work, is it worth it? Because there's a lot of coaches like, I would love to do that. That just seems like a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as a head coach, you know, you already have so much on your plate that you have to do. But I do think that stuff like this is probably the most important thing you could do for your kids.
You're just saying that, Rachel. Do you believe it? No, but
absolutely.
Coaches say that, but like, I just don't know if they always believe it. You know,
I spend more time on their development as leaders and their character than I do skill-wise. I will say that for a fact. I just truly believe in it. And I think that also, like, with the social media and stuff like that, it's important for them to feel special. So that's why I pour so much time into that. And myself being a marketing major, that's a little bit easier for me than it would be maybe someone else who isn't as used to that or doesn't know as much in it. But as far as like the summer schedule, yes, absolutely blessed to be able to have preseason in the summer where the schedule's a little bit more open. We dedicate an hour a day after practice for these lead 'em up lessons and just to have lunch together. We sit in our little family groups and we all just have lunch together. And then once we're done eating, we'll bring it right into lead 'em up. All the girls have journals and we go into our lesson for the day. And that's something that
how many days a week? Sorry, how many days a week during the summer?
We'll go 5 days a week.
5 days a week. Okay.
Sometimes four, depending if we have maybe a scrimmage here or there, but it's 5 days a week in the summer. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. We're there from in our gym from 9 to 2. So we'll practice for 2 hours, weightlift for an hour. Then like I said, lunch and a lesson for an hour. And so it's been really beneficial just to have that little separate time. Now, during the school year, of course, this is going to look a little bit different. We, you know, play 2-3 times a week. And so that leaves us with maybe 1 or 2 practice days a week. So how do we fit all that in? We'll practice our volleyball hour or class starts at 2:15. And we usually practice till about 4:30, but that gives us a little bit of leeway, that 30-minute gap until 5 o'clock that, hey, we can get our lesson in right here. Hey, everybody, go grab your notebooks, go grab your journals. Let's go to the meeting room and let's just sit and let's talk and let's learn for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of coaches hearing that summer schedule and say, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. You get those kids from like 9 to 2, like that's so unique. But even if you aren't afforded that amount of time, you know, when we talk about these sessions of 30 minutes, I think it's not about like the length of the session. I think it's more about the consistency and genuine nature of the lesson. Like, can you consistently have it be part of your program? And are you genuinely like, is it clear that you're committed to it? You're passionate to it. You're not doing it because you have to do it. You're not doing it because someone's making you, or, you know, you're just scrambling last minute, but there's gotta be a genuine, like, coach is in on this. Okay. And they've got to feel that. Otherwise they see right through you. If they think you're just doing it because you just have to check off a box. So right. I don't want any coach listening to you say your summer schedule and think, well, I just don't have that much time. I can never do it. It's not so much about the time. Okay. It's about the consistency. And then you may think, well, like, wow, 5 days a week, how do you have that much content to cover? And I will say a couple things. And then I'll let you kind of answer. Well, there is a lot of content in Lead 'Em Up. I will say that there's a lot of exercise and all that, but a lot of it sometimes, and my guess is some of those sessions probably take on a kind of life of its own and may kind of go on something more pressing for that day. It may not always be a structured lead 'em up session, but it is still communicating under this umbrella of like our leadership time, our lead 'em up time. And then is that accurate? I see you shaking your head. Is
absolutely
that fair?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's this time to kind of reset and just recalibrate and realign our team each and every day to keep us on track for where we want to go culture wise. You know, one of our sponsors in our Green 13 is Chick-fil-A. The winners of those Green 13 winners win free Chick-fil-A. And we've had Kayla Smith, owner and operator, who leads our sponsorship from Chick-fil-A on. Great friend. We love Kayla so much. And Kayla, they've got six values that they preach in Chick-fil-A, right? Almost like our green standards, but their values. And every day, they're only open 6 days a week, hence why six values. Every day, they will pick a different value. And during their pre-shift meetings and team meetings, they go all in on the value. And she said on one of the podcasts, she said, if there's an employee that's been here for like 3 years, you know, like multiple years, they have heard dissecting conversation about those values ad nauseum dozens and dozens and dozens of times. It is instilled in them. And, you know, when you look at the word instill, right, it means to firmly establish in one's mind. So what she's saying is these little moments day in and day out of just emphasizing our culture, emphasizing our values, our standards, right? Not always in long, drawn out keynote style presentations or teaching, sometimes even in little bits and pieces, over time instills it in them where it becomes established firmly. They live it, right? And she goes, people always want to know, what is so different at Chick-fil-A? She goes, I get asked that all the time, right? Because when you go to all these fast food restaurants, there's a difference at Chick-fil-A versus your McDonald's and stuff. People always want to know, what's the secret? What's your quote unquote secret sauce? She's like, it's not the Chick-fil-A sauce. It's the daily pouring into the culture every day of our values and standards of what we believe and how we operate over time that everybody believes it. Everybody knows it. Everybody can share it and speak it and live it. And that is why we are different, because we are so intentional with these details of our culture. And you want to know, well, why is our culture different? It's that. It is no microwavable process overnight where you create it. So when I hear you do that, that was the first thing that came to mind, Rachel, is this daily intentional, just reinforcing, reemphasizing. And what you're doing is instilling it in your players so it is established. And when it does, then they begin to live it because it's part of who they are then.
Absolutely.
Is that a fair connection there?
Yeah, for sure. Because we don't want to go through a lesson and then that be the only day we talk about that. Or, you know, we don't want to say, hey, this is what a lifeguard is. This is what you do as a lifeguard. And then never speak on it again. We have to constantly bring those up in practice or bring those up throughout the day. Or we'll, you know, talk about our green standards. Like, hey, guys, what's one of our green standards we want to do today? Oh, is it consistency? Okay, how are we going to be consistent? What does that look like? And we make sure that they define it too. That way it's constantly, okay, yeah, what does this look like? What does it look like to have a growth mindset as one of our standards? What does that mean to us? Oh, okay. How can we apply that in practice now? And so, yeah, we do. We have to go over things every day and make sure that there is consistency in that. Because like I said, you can't just go over a lesson one day and then leave it.
And they're not going to live it unless it's in them. And it's not going to be in them unless it's instilled in them. Okay. Right. And the reality is you can't teach a lifeguarding lesson one time and expect it to like live in them. Are you kidding me? You know, like that just doesn't work. The retention doesn't hold true. Right. You know, they probably only walk away receiving and holding on to like the core tenets that day. It's got to be continuously pushed. And I never give up on one of my players. Let me take that back. Wrong way to phrase it. I never stop pouring into my players, specifically with the green team, until they can recite back to me all seven rules of the green team.
Yeah.
Okay. They know in general the premise of the green team. They know green, gray, red. Mm-hmm. And when I go back year after year and I'm with the team ongoing and we keep talking green team, I always, and I think I shared this in one of the breakouts, I will actually give my players a pass to step out of the session and not have to sit in today's lead 'em up session, because we're going to go through the green team. I will give them that permission if they can tell me all seven green rules or green team rules. If they can share all seven, I will give them a pass and let them go home, which none of them. And I only do that to try to illustrate a point, because one, I know none of them are going to get all seven right.
Yeah.
Right. And they'll be like, isn't it? There's the red recruiting. Isn't that like rule five, coach? And like rule two is like about floating, and like, and they'll just kind of like, and what they're telling you is like, yeah, I don't fully have it yet.
Yeah.
And then you flip that, and then that produces the buy-in of why they need to keep leaning into this. Mm-hmm. Guys, why are we doing this again? I just asked you to share all seven. You couldn't even tell me. How the heck are you living it out daily if you don't even know what it is fully?
Yeah.
It's got to be deeper in us, guys, in order to truly transform us. And we use a little phrase called active thought versus afterthought. It's how we teach it. When it's been presented to them and it's in their head, but not instilled in them, it lives as an afterthought. They engage in a way and they think, oh, you know what? I probably should have jumped in as a lifeguard after the reality. It didn't change. They didn't do it in the front end. It was an afterthought. When it lives deep enough in them, becomes an active thought. Active thoughts live front of mind and drive behavior, but it has to be really, really instilled in us. So Rachel, I love, 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 love what you're doing out there and more. I love the engagement on social, love the momentum and the growth. And I hope not only the other coaches in the district there follow suit and follow your lead as you, it sounds like there's a lot of momentum around the district there. Mm-hmm. We lead them up, but hopefully they continue to follow your lead. But even everyone listening today, that your approach inspired them to kind of dial it up and maybe evaluate themselves and say, you know what? I have just been dabbling with it. You know, I haven't been getting to the 12 sessions the way Lead 'Em Up communicates. I haven't been going all in. And you know what? Maybe that's why I haven't been seeing the true transformation and elevation of my culture, right? Because it just hasn't been done at that level. Hopefully this inspired them. Rachel, anything you want to add before we wrap up here?
I really appreciate the program. Honestly, it is a game changer. And I highly, highly encourage anyone that is considering even trying Lead 'Em Up, just go for it. Go all in, because you will see a huge change in your program for the positive.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah. I see it too with the teams I work with. Right. And obviously you're experiencing it. Rachel, best of luck. People can follow you and your volleyball team at More, MOORE Volleyball on Instagram, right? More Volleyball. And take a look at all the work you're doing, all the graphics. That marketing degree is coming out, right? It is fully alive and engaged. And but anyways, on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, Kyle, Leon, and the whole crew, I am Adam. Appreciate you so much hanging with us today. As always, have fun and lead them up.